Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio, and we've been discussing Luke 18, 1 through 14, with Miss Tara and Beth and myself, Sandy, and wow. I don't even know what to say. You know, we're talking about prayer and how Jesus says you ought to pray, and it's that consistent praying that just opens everything up for us. And I know there's seasons that I've had that spiritual fainting that Tara talked about last time, and it's not a good time.
No, I don't like spiritual
fainting. I don't either.
It's hard.
Never thought about that terminology until you brought that up.
Well,
never even occurred
to me. I
hadn't
until I read it in Mattoon's Treasury. It was right. A really
and in,
good in choice word.
Galatians 6:9, it even mentions it.
I don't remember that. It's so funny. God just, he's so sweet. Okay, so we're doing the two parables of the three that Luke talks about on prayer. And the other prayer, a parable, just so you know, it's the friend at midnight, you know, that comes knocking at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And because the finally just gets up and answers. And, you know, essentially we're going to go through, I'm going to tell the two parables again, and we're going to really hone in on the widow and the judge and examine that one today. And so in Luke 18, 1 through 14, Jesus is talking to initially the disciples, but then he, with the second parable, he addresses those that think they're righteous.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Jesus looks to the disciples and he tells them, men ought to pray and never lose hope.
Mm.
And then he begins to teach this parable. There was a judge in town, and he did not fear God or respect man. And in the same town, there was a widow. And she had gone to the judge many times because there was a person who had done bad things to her, and she said, give me justice. But the judge, he was not willing to help her. But after time with her bothering him over and over, he finally said, and he goes, even though I don't fear God or respect man, this woman's bothering me. And if I give her what she wants, then she will leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And so he finally gives her what she wants because of her persistence, because he doesn't want to be wore out by her. And Jesus said, listen, to what the judge says, because if a person cries out to God day and night, he will always give them what is right. Mm. He is not slow to answer his people.
Mm.
And God does answer swiftly for his people. And he said, but when the Son of Man comes again, will he find that people on earth believe in him? And then he turns to some people that thought they were so good, and they looked down on everyone. And Jesus said this story to them, that there was a Pharisee and a tax collector, and both of them had gone to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood alone away from the tax collector, and as he was praying, he says, oh God, I thank you that I am not as bad as these other people, that I'm not greedy and unrighteous or commit adultery or not like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and I tithe from everything that I have. Well, the tax collector, he stood off by himself as well. And he couldn't even look to heaven. And he was striking his chest over and over, begging God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, that man, he's the one who's justified right with God. The Pharisee, he's not. Because people who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. May God honor the telling of his word. We're excited because Janelle just walked in the studio. Janelle, can we do a mic check? Because I don't know that you're on.
Okay.
Nick said
okay,
she's
on. Okay, good. as she walked in the middle of the story, I thought, I don't know if she's going to be on. But so we just went through these two parables, and we're going to look at this judge and this widow. Mm. Now, first thing I want you to know is that this is not a Jewish judge. Back in their day, the way things were set up is that the Jewish court was set up with three judges. It would have had a plaintiff judge, a defendant judge, and an appointed independent judge, so that three parties were a part of the decision-making process of the court. There were other judges that were magistrates, and they were appointed by Herod the Great or a Roman. And these men were bad. They were so bad that the commentator said they were known to be bought by a meal.
Mm.
And officially, they were called, and I'm going to butcher this, so forgive me, Diana Gazeroth, which means the judges of prohibitions or punishments. That's officially what their title was called. Popularly, though, they were called Diana Gazeloth, which they were robber judges. That's what the people actually called them. And so this widow is going to a man that is known as a robber judge. The only way he will give an answer is if he's paid. And that's part of it, is that he's hard. He has no respect for God. He has no respect for man. And he's not out to honor them. It's like, what can you do for me? And this is a widow, which represents the symbol of poverty and the defenseless. That's why she's used, okay? And he's not willing to look at her poverty or the fact that she's defenseless. So her fact that she is going persistently to him, and she is literally going knowing, this man's not going to help me unless I can pay him, and I can't. The only tool she had to help her was the persistence. The persistence of going over and over and over. She was trusting the tool of being annoying.
Pretty much. Kind of like children, you know, when they want something.
Yes. And so you need to understand, that's the mindset of what's going on here. And so he's told them ahead of time, men ought to pray so that you not lose heart. And then he gives this parable. And so when we look at the two, the contrast of the judge and the widow, what immediately comes to mind when you think of that? What does it make you think of? Why do you think Jesus used this as an example?
I think it's interesting that the widow could offer the judge nothing, because in the same way, there is absolutely nothing that we can offer God. Right. He has everything, and there's nothing that he would desire that we have except our persistence and our prayer.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Do you have something, Sandy?
No, I was just, my thought was just, you know, just and unjust, or righteous and unrighteous.
But that's good. That's good. Now, remember, this is a conversation he's having with believers. So that shifts our thinking, that shifts the conversation. He is having this conversation with believers, and he's told them men ought to pray. And oftentimes when people will hear this parable, I don't think I read a single commentator that did not address this, that if a person does not have a right understanding of God, they will view God as the judge. And that's not the point of the parable. He
it's
is
about
the
prayer.
Opposite of the judge. And that the judge is unrighteous, and that's why he gives the conversation. He says, listen to what the judge says. Because if God's people were to cry out, he hears them and he answers swiftly. And so he is help for his people. So don't get confused in thinking that God is like the judge and that he's not going to give the answer. Even when our answers are delayed, or even if our answers are no, because sometimes we don't like the answer of the outcome. And, you know, it's really hard. And right now on my mind, because I had a circumstance recently that occurred on Friday, one day last week, I read an email of a dear friend who felt her family has sold everything, and they're going to prepare to be on the mission field in Africa. And she went to the doctor, found out that she has breast cancer, and now she's preparing for surgery. And I mean, they've sold everything. They're just waiting to leave to go on the mission field, and now they're having to deal with this process. And then Friday, I went in for a regular checkup, and they found a lump. And the doctor's like, okay, well, not a normal mammogram for you. You're going to have a diagnostic mammogram. You're going to have to go in. You're going to have an ultrasound. You're going to do all this stuff. Now we just have to do this as precautions, but, you know, we just need to be prepared. I'm like, okay. And I wasn't afraid. I can't explain it, because I had this happen to me 10 years ago where it was a precancerous that they did a biopsy, and it was gone. You know, they took care of it, whatever. And but this is the opposite side. That was the right side. This is the left side. I had to wait till Monday. They couldn't get me in, of course, on Friday. So I had the whole weekend, you know, to pray, to persist in prayer.
That's right.
I just think it's God has this irony of allowing us to walk things when we're getting ready to learn. And so every night after we go to bed, you know, I would do my research, you know, to find out all the different things, you know, sizes, how it feels, shape, moving, not moving, all this stuff, doing this research. And I started to go into the look at pictures, and that was too much for me, and I shut it down. And went to find the lump again, and I'm like, okay, God, this is so weird. But here's the deal. You've taught me you're faithful. Mm. You've taught me your promises. Mm-hmm. You have taught me to seek you. You've taught me to ask you for faith. I'm asking you for faith. You've told me in Scripture that if I commit something to you, you will grant me favor. So this is odd, God, but I give you my breasts and I give you this lump. Mm-hmm. This is what I prayed. And I'm like, it's yours. It wasn't mine to begin with. And so you do whatever you will. I will give you glory no matter what. And I went to sleep peacefully, but I also in that prayer was praying for my friend. And I go in the next morning, I go in for the mammogram, and it takes a lot longer with the mammogram because they're trying to get the special angles and all this stuff. And I'm just thinking, this is just nuts, the what you go through for a mammogram. Yes. Mm-hmm. And but while I was in there, I prayed for all the women that came through. Mm. You know, it was an opportunity to pray. And then in the waiting room to see their faces, I was asking God, let my face shine. Let me, they don't want to talk because everybody that's in there is scared. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to even look anybody in the eye. And I'm praying for one woman that looked really, really low. And they call me in for the ultrasound. And while I'm in the ultrasound, they do the ultrasound and they left me and I had to wait a long time. And I'm just sitting in there going, okay, what do I do? I need to occupy my mind. I started writing lesson plans in my head. And then the doctor walks in, she looks at me and she goes, it's normal. Oh, my name is blah, blah. And then she walked out. And that was that. And wow. And I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
But then that night I was laying in bed and I'm thinking, God, why was mine normal and hers wasn't? Because I know she's persisting in prayer. Mm. I've persisted in prayer. And he reminded me it's about the glory. What's going to give the glory? And, you know, she has a bigger audience that she is going to reach because of what they're doing on the mission field. Mm. And the story is going to reach. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about the glory. And that's the reason why he says we ought to pray and never lose hope.
Right.
And so that persistence of making sure, even when we don't know, we need, you know, what don't know what the answers are. We need to know these things about God. And so as I was praying through this, I was like, well, what do I know about God? Mm. What do I know so that I don't lose heart? And I posted it this morning on Facebook. And I know prayer is powerful. Mm-hmm. I know prayer is effective. I know that prayer is to be my first step, not my second step. Now, I confess the sin of it often being the 10th step.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? God, forgive us.
Yeah, why isn't this working? Oh, I ought to pray.
Right. And you know what? It wasn't even... normally, 10 years ago, I think I told everybody and their dog what I was going through. This time, I didn't tell people because I wanted to see what God was going to do. I can't explain it. I wanted to just give it to God and see what he would teach me in faith.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg said, well, maybe we should give it to our community group. So Sunday I did write it down, but I don't, you know, who knows what reads that. And I, prayer is also, this is something I wrote down. It's like prayer strengthens me.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer doesn't just strengthen me, but it prepares me. Mm. It equips me and it moves me towards God's heart. It allows me to see God's heart in the circumstances.
And it gives you that peace that you need during times like that.
Right. So that you could sleep fine.
Right. Absolutely.
And not have worries. And it's that what you read in the Philippians 4:6, which is why I had us read that verse, that it's the peace which surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, that we can be going through the thick of a crisis trusting that God is sovereign and that even if he wills it, I can get through it. Mm-hmm. And Sandy is a survivor, and I am looking at somebody that I've watched walk this road and handle it gracefully and beautifully and give it glory to God.
Mm.
And because what happens is prayer is taking that which is ordinary and temporal, and it joins it with the heavenly and the eternal. When I am taking the time to put my mindset in a focus of prayer to where it is so into God's things and his purposes, I'm taking the ordinary and it suddenly becomes a part of the extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Even in the mundane, mm-hmm. we can do that. And I think, I don't know, we get messed up, we forget that. And so reminding mm-hmm. ourselves that prayer changes the circumstances,
everything.
It changes the people,
everything.
And it changes me. Mm. And wow. But prayer also allows me to invite God in.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because so often we try to deal with circumstances with God at arm's length
mm-hmm.
instead of allowing God to be fully embraced in what we're going through. And we need to invite God in. Because if we have something where we're spiritually fainting, it's because we have not given the invitation for the one
right.
who can make the change happen. And he heals through miraculous, he heals through surgery, he heals through medicine, he heals through chemotherapy and radiology, he heals through conversations
mm-hmm.
and touch. And we don't know how God will choose to manifest
right.
the healing. We just have to be where we invite him in to be partakers
it's
in what we're
like
doing.
It's just like in that waiting room, you know, when you go out and you see these people that are so distraught,
mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, and praying for them is just so, yeah, amazing. Because it is going through. You use that a lot of times right there, through.
It's the
Because it's always a process of going through something with him.
Right.
But
right.
I like what you said, because when you become one through that prayer, you're really okay.
It is amazing.
If it doesn't turn
okay.
out the way you want it to, you're like, okay.
Right. It's
because
you
almost
testimony.
Because you're
yeah.
you become you don't know what the plan is that he's
right.
going to do,
right.
but you know that it's
okay.
good and it's from him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the peace and that
yes.
is the great testimony for other people to see that don't understand God's peace or have never felt that peace.
Right. They look at you and think you're nuts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, we have just a minute left. It went fast.
Oh,
thank you, Janelle. I want to make sure that somebody that might be listening that has gotten the results back that they didn't want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my encouragement to you is you ought to pray and not lose heart. That God has a plan and a purpose, and
mm-hmm.
He will not falter. He will not faint. He is not like that judge. He is perfect and good in character, and he cares for you. He's kind and he's gracious,
mm-hmm.
and he knows you. He's your advocate, and he is there to lift you up, and he wants you to seek him and know him through this process. So I just ask you to cry to him like the persistent widow,
mm-hmm.
to seek him and to not seeking him, and knowing that he has a plan and purpose for you. We're so glad you're listening to Cultivating Hearts. God bless. Mm-hmm.